running, a little slow tonight. Well, we run a little slow about every night, really. A little slower than normal. If you don't mind, it's a little warm in here. I'm going to pull my coat off. Don't want anybody to make fun of my belly. I'll try to draw it in so it won't look quite as bad. Brother Jerome said, the righteous shall wax fat. Doctor measured me yesterday. Weighed 187.6. And I went in the doc's office, my rheumatologist, and because I had my shoulders, I couldn't, my arms, my shoulders was getting stiff. And they worked around on them a while. I was in there an hour in his office, and he told his assistant, said, we're going to give Mr. Hall a cortisone shot in each shoulder. And he said, pull your shirts off, both of them. So I minded the man, you know, and I'd heard all kinds of stories about how painful they were and how they hurt. And so they went to the left side and they cleaned it up, you know, got it sterilized, took a little gauze and rubbed around on it and pushed down real hard right in one place and took a needle, stuck it in there. I mean, it was a piece of cake, buddy. I've had a briar stick me. It was a whole lot worse than that. I couldn't even tell hardly when the man touched me with the needle. And they took it out, put a Band-Aid over it, went over to the other side and done the same thing. And while they was doing the right side, he put it in, had to pull it out, still didn't feel it, put it back in again. And while he was doing that, I felt something warm running down my left side. And I looked and I had blood running down my side. It run all the way down over my belt, all the way down into my pockets and my trousers. And I'm saying, he's got a Band-Aid on. I said, Doc, I said, I think you're going to have to patch up the hole, buddy, get the sutures out or something before I bleed to death. Amen. And he said, my goodness, what have we done? I said, you punctured me. That's exactly what you've done. I said, that's evident, man. I said, I'm about to bleed to death. It was good-looking blood. I have to give credit for that. I'm glad I got good dark red blood. Amen. And but it certainly is not the blood of the Lamb. Not at all, but I'm glad the Lamb gave me that blood. The life of the blood is in the flesh.
Amen.
And he says something to the effect, I have given it to you to make an atonement for your upon the altar, to make an atonement for your souls. And that's why the blood of Christ in the flesh
Amen.
Made the atonement for the soul. And I'm so thrilled that he did and thanking God for it.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I wanted to go back to the book of 1 Peter. I got up this morning to do my basic primary reading, and I've been reading, like I said, through the book of Psalms. I got up about 4:45. I made 3 pots of coffee before I got 1 pot strong enough to drink. I just kept pouring. Miss Hawkins out there and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to get this stuff to where a man can drink it. And I finally got it almost that strong. And so I finally forced myself to drink it. And I'm sitting there reading, and I didn't get very far until the Lord stopped me cold in my tracks. And I thought, well, I'm going to preach several different places in the Bible on this thought. And when I got started with it, I got about 4 little points, and I said, that'll be all I can handle them two tonight, so we'll stop right there. And so if you'll turn in your Bible to Psalm 143. And when you find that place, let's all stand together and we'll try to read the entire Psalm, 12 verses in it. Well, let's not do that. Let's just begin reading where I'm going to preach from in verse number 9 of Psalm 143. And verse number 9. Psalmist David said, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will,
Amen.
For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake,
Amen.
For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. And here's a thought that really got a hold of me this morning. He said, "For I am thy servant."
Amen.
And I've noticed a number of times reading recently, and I may preach on this thought again. "For I am thy servant. Do all these things," he said, "deliver me, teach me, quicken me, for I am thy servant."
Amen.
And I want to try, with the help of God, to preach a little while tonight on the blessings of a servant. And hope that I'll be a blessing to you as I preach on the blessings of a servant. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that I can be here in the house of God tonight. I'm thankful for your people that have made their way out, Lord, in this midweek service, this final Tuesday night of midweek prayer meeting. I'm grateful, Lord, for their faithfulness. And I'm grateful for the faithfulness of our God, who loved us and died for us that we might have eternal and everlasting life. I do pray for the power and the presence of Christ in this place tonight. Lord, I want to help your people. I want to be a blessing to them. And I know without your presence, that'll be an impossibility. So I pray that you'll anoint everything that is said from the pulpit tonight. Help my very thought, the pattern, I pray. Take thy word and apply it to hearts and bless and regenerate the lost and help and give grace to your people. And Father, we want to praise you and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to say that one more time. He said, "For I am thy servant." And I want to preach on that a little while, and I'll do the best I can, even if you are quiet, that'll be all right, and preach on the blessings of a servant. Now, when we think of the Lord's servants, we generally have in mind preachers and missionaries and full-time Christian workers. But that is not always the case in the Word of God. If you take in the life of Mary and Martha, it was Martha that the Bible calls a certain woman in Luke chapter number 10 and verse 38. It was also Martha who invited Jesus into her own home and served him while he was there. Now, and she had a sister called Mary. The Bible said, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And I've said before, it takes both sitting and serving to get the job done.
Amen.
And if you're not sitting like Mary, you'll never be serving like Martha.
Amen.
But you know, the Bible said here about Mary. The Bible said, I've said before and I've said again, it takes setting and serving. And here in our story, Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
Amen.
But please notice the word "also" in verse number 39. It said also, it was also Martha's house. And it was also Martha that had been serving our God. And if you notice in verse number 30, in verse number 42, it talks about Mary choosing that good part. And so when I think about Martha, I not only think about Martha as a server, but I think about her as a setter as well. And I want to turn back there where I can get that in Luke 10 and get it in its context, if I may just for a minute. I hadn't intended to, but I think I need to. Yeah. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Yeah.
But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou hast art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And we often want to give Mary all the credit because she's the one sitting at Jesus' feet and learning. But it was also Martha that was cumbered about with much servant. And I think the words also and the word good part concerning Mary implies that Martha was also a setter. She had learned to set, that's why she was serving. Now, she did get a little upset about the fact that she was left to serve alone. But I believe in all of my heart that Martha was just as much a setter as Mary, but I also believe that Mary was just as much a server as what Martha was. Somebody said, how do you know that, preacher? Because it tells us Luke, I believe it is, that it is Mary that is at the tomb of Jesus at his early in the morning, or went there the first day of the week with spices and went there to anoint his body. Would you not agree with me that Mary was serving the Lord when she went there to do that? I'd have to say amen. Mary was serving the Lord just as much as Martha was serving the Lord. I've got to admit this, that Mary may have been serving in a more spiritual capacity than what Martha was, but nonetheless, Martha and Mary both were serving the Lord. Now, I said all that to say this. Everybody, all of us that are saved are servants of God. But we all have different functions. We're all not going to be at the tomb anointing the body of Jesus. And we're all not going to be in the house when it comes time to serve. And we're not all at the same time going to be sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing the Word of God. But I will say this, if you never sit at His feet and hear the Word of God, you're never going to amount to much in the service of God. But nevertheless, we are all servants of the Lord. Now, like I said again, I believe Mary had chosen that good part and was a more spiritual servant than what Martha was. But nonetheless, they were both servants of God. Now, I said all that to say this. Somebody, we've got the idea today that the servants of God are preachers and missionaries and full-time Christian workers, and we have forgotten the fact that when God called Israel out of Egypt, God called them out to serve Him in the wilderness. He didn't just say Moses and Aaron. He said when He called Israel out, He called them to serve Him in the wilderness. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? Just because I stand up here and preach the Word of God doesn't make me the only servant in this church building. And just because these men work back here doesn't make them the only servants in the church building. I want to say that we've everyone in here tonight got a responsibility to serve God in some capacity. Others may have this job and others may have this job, but I'm here to tell you that we're all called to be servants of God. Hey, and we're blessed to the Lord. Why? Because we are His servants. Hallelujah to God. And I found out that David was a servant of the Lord in Psalm 18 when he was also king of all Israel. In fact, he counted it a greater honor just to be called a servant. I'm telling you, the Bible said I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, that I'm glad tonight I can serve the God in what little capacity I can serve Him in. And whatever you're doing, it ought to thrill your soul to be able to serve God some way, somehow, down at the church house and prove the fact that you're not only saved, but you're a saved servant of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. I couldn't help but to marvel when I left here the other day. The first time I made mention of paying somebody to clean the building and got no takers. And I told my wife, and I don't mind to tell you this, I love you, but I told my wife, I said, it's a sad day when you can't get folks to serve for money. Now, how are we going to get folks to serve if we can't even get folks to serve and get paid for it? Sad day in the house of God. I said that Sunday morning. Some of y'all bowed up on me. But I'm telling you, we're in worse shape today than we've ever been in our life. And to save my soul, I cannot figure out why. Unless we have lost our heart for God. I'm telling you, it takes a heart for God to sit down and read our Bible and study and pray. But it also takes a heart for God to get up and pick up a vacuum cleaner or a broom or a dust mop and clean the house of God. Or to mow the grass. Or to sweep the parking lot. Or to do odd jobs around the church. It also takes somebody that's willing to do that. There's the bottom line of it, buddy. Whether we're studying the Bible, or whether we're at work serving God, whether we're sitting or serving, it takes a heart for God to get both jobs done. And I think we have forgotten the fact that we're blessed because we're God's servant. Oh, I'm blessed above all measure tonight. I'm blessed, and I'm going to tell you for no other reason than I'm a servant of God. Somebody said, well, God blesses you because you preach. No, He don't. He blesses me because I serve. Amen. He was blessing me at Bible Baptist Church when I was down there helping them pour sidewalks. He was blessing me at Bible Baptist Church when I was down there helping them mow the grass. I remember one night we went out on visitation. And in the old building, before they ever built that new building, right about the time we got ready to pray, it come one of the, a toad strangler storm, buddy, pouring the rain. And I never felt so sorry for anybody in my life as I did Brother Nolan. He said, boys, it's the bucket brigade. Get the buckets out. And that old tin roof went to leaking all in his office, all over the church. We carried 5-gallon buckets, trash cans, anything we could find in there and put underneath them leaks. And poor Brother Nolan, I felt sorry for him. I thought, man, here's a man of God dedicated his life to the ministry. But I'm going to tell them, when it comes time to get the buckets, guess who led the way? Brother Nolan. You know why? He had been sitting with the Lord. Therefore, he could serve with the Lord with a glad heart. And he realized, hey, somebody said, that ain't much. You'd have thought it wasn't much if you had to get the wet back, the shop back, and suck her up sometimes. Amen. You'd be amazed how many times we've been in that front room back there in water almost ankle deep. Buddy, and I'm telling you, that doorway that goes between the foyer and the studio, I've seen water coming up and under it so fast that with two industrial shop vacs and our shop vac, we couldn't keep the water out of it. It overflowed. I remember Wayne Adams over here, and he said, any electrical wires around here? I said, look in there in the other room. He said, Lord God, we all getting ready to get electrocuted. And I began to think we might. And I stood there and looked around, and I said, how high's the water, Mama? Somebody said, it's ankle deep and rising, boys, I'm telling you. Or listen to what I'm saying. But I'm telling you that when the water came in, we all grabbed the shop backs. I'm telling you myself, Miss Sharon, Miss Ruth, Ray Gilstrap, everybody was here, grabbed shop vacs and began to suck up the water, Brother Bell, and all of us. Yeah. That's right. Somebody said, what would have happened if you hadn't? We'd have had a terrible mess on our hands. I remember one night, we was in Georgia. Lord Doug and Lisa ever come up here. Now, I forget who it was working in here, called me down at their house. Said, preacher, we got a terrible problem. I said, what happened? They said, water rains hard. It come across the parking lot and run under the wall and said it run from the auditorium all the way back to the men's bathroom in the auditorium. I said, you're kidding me. And no, I wish I was. I said, what are y'all doing? They said, we're sucking it up. Yep. Now I'm going to tell you, servant. It took somebody to clean up that water. It took somebody to serve. And I'm telling you, somewhere down the line, God will not forget that. That Bible said God will not forget it. if you give a drink of cold water in a disciple's name, do you think God is going to be indebted to you and I? Oh no, we're blessed, ladies and gentlemen, because we're servants of the Lord. And get this, we'll all get the same pay when we get to heaven. It doesn't make any difference whether it's the preacher that's serving or sweeping up water. The rewards are the same. Because God rewards on the basis of faithfulness and not job rating. We're not Walmart. We're not that trucking company you work for either. That's right. God rewards on the basis of faithfulness.
Amen.
How faithful are you to do what God wants you to do?
Yeah.
Come on now. Praise God and we'll all. Those that stay with the stuff will get the same spoil as those that go out to battle.
Yeah.
You'll catch that and after a while you can read about David's life and find that out. Now I'm telling you, it takes both kinds, buddy. And I'll tell you, the Lord blesses His servants. David said, deliver me, teach me, quicken me. Why, Lord? For I am Thy servant. And all of these are blessings from God on a man's life that served Him. And I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, Paul was a great man of God, but there's not a better servant in that Bible anywhere than David was. A real servant of the Lord, buddy. And somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, listen carefully. How does He bless us? Look at verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. For I flee unto Thee to hide me. He delivers us by providing a refuge.
Amen.
What a blessing. I'm glad that I've found a place of quiet rest.
Amen.
I'm glad that I found a refuge in the time of storm.
Amen.
I'm glad that I can hide under the covert of His wings until all calamities be overpassed.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, that there is a shelter under the covert of God's wings.
Amen.
Oh yes, thank God. He delivers us, ladies and gentlemen. He delivers us from our enemies, amen, when we flee to Him and hide me there. When He hides us there, He has given us a refuge from our enemies.
Amen.
Any enemy chasing you tonight? Run to Jesus.
Amen.
He'll hide you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Ain't that what the book says? Am I still in the book? Can somebody shake their head up and down? Now notice this place. I hope we don't lose you right here. This place where He hides us is a saving place. It is a saving place. Somebody said, how do you know, preacher? Because Psalm 91:1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that word shadow means to hover over. It's the same word they used down in Egypt when the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Praise God, I'm glad, thank God, that when we run to Him, that we've got a hiding place. And friend, it's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, I'm glad tonight that I'm sheltered by the blood of the darling Lamb of God. Let all hell break loose, but I'm telling you, God is still my refuge. Amen and amen, I've still found a hiding place in Him. I love that old song, my soul has found a hiding place.
Yep.
Hallelujah to God.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. The devil don't know where I'm at.
Yeah.
You realize that Paul said in Colossians that our life is hid with Christ in God?
Yeah.
Devil couldn't find you if he wanted to.
Amen.
That's right. He don't know where you are. He thinks he does by tempting this flesh of ours.
Yeah.
This body of clay. But I'm telling you, the real us is not here.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is in here. The real us is already up there. Now you catch that by slow freight. This body is a tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Better believe that's right. Is anybody listening? Rome said he was. I'm spitting all I can spit. I won't say it's a saving place. Now listen carefully. I won't say, secondly, it's a secret place. My verse says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place, known only by God. If it is the secret place of the Almighty, there's a place, ladies and gentlemen, that God can hide us at. Nobody knows where it's at. I've heard them say they've taken the telescope and found the place that goes up through the black hole, whatever that black hole is. But I'm going to tell you one thing. That telescope don't reach up quite far enough.
Amen.
There's a place beyond the place. And that's God's place. That place is a secret place.
Yeah.
Known only by Him on the sides of the north. Is our great King in the city of our God, where we have found a refuge. Hallelujah, can you get a hold of that?
Amen.
I'm telling you, our refuge is in the city of our God, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name. I'm about ready to run the aisle, and y'all sitting there like zombies.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah.
It's the shadow of the Almighty, that secret place. That shadow of the Almighty. And then thirdly, it's a secure place. It's under the shadow of the Almighty. Secure. Some of y'all so worried tonight. Some of y'all so worried. I'm surprised that you got any skin at all left on your hands. You wrang your hands, worried about this and worried about that and worried about everything else. You ought to be like my cousin Vernon. He was getting ready to go in 1950 into the Navy. Go into Korea. My daddy said, Vernon, are you worried? He said, I won't say everything he said. But he said, why should I worry? He said, there ain't nobody going to worry about me. And he's right. There's nobody going to worry about you. May I say this in all due respect, about 99% of what went on up there in the big hoopla up at Virginia Tech was a facade. Them people really, them people, you know what them people that run that university care about? What that will do to their enrollment next year. That's what they're worried about. They're not worried about them kids that died. They're worried about their enrollment and their money. I will have to give President Bush one plug. He said, the Bible said, God blesses the righteous, but He judges the wicked.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen.
Amen.
He told it right. They heard one verse out of the Word of God, but they don't ever hear anything else. They heard one. And look here, you want me to show you the difference in the presidents? Now, I hate to get off on this, but they showed a little old thing in there of what's his name, Slick Willie. When they killed David Koresh and 72 other people down in Texas, you know what Slick Willie said? Here's his words. I heard it last night. I can't help it if a bunch of religious nuts with a guy in there that thought he was God set themselves on fire and burn themselves up. I can't help that. Only 72 of them died. They were just a bunch of religious nuts that set themselves on fire. I'll assure you they were religious nuts, but that attitude stinks and it's rotten.
Amen.
That's about the whole attitude of America today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If it don't come my way, it don't trouble me. That's a problem in our churches, and that's a problem in America today. If it don't happen to me, then it's all right. Let her roll. Praise God. It's time we got a heart for America.
Amen.
A heart for God.
Amen.
I look around this place tonight, about half the people's gone, and it's got so bad some of them leave and everything else and don't even tell you they're going to be gone. Didn't charge you nothing for that. And the thing of it is, they used to tell you. Amen. I'm glad it's a secure place. It's under the shadow of His wings, under the shadow of the Almighty. Notice secondly, we're blessed not only because He delivers us by providing a refuge, but we're blessed because He declares unto us His word because of His goodness. Look at verse number 10. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness.
Yes.
And so He declares unto us, hey, He blesses us by teaching us His word. Hey, I'm going to say something to you. That Bible will keep you out of sin, friend. You know why? What few of you still here, not out in the world? When that Bible said that God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I don't necessarily think He's talking about God's chosen by the foolishness to save the lost. He's chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe.
Amen.
That word believe, ladies and gentlemen, means deliver. Now I'm here to tell you what preaching will do, that Bible will do, it'll keep you out of sin. That's exactly, if you're saved, it will. You better believe it will. Amen. You stay in the house of God, and I'm telling you that Bible and the preaching of that Bible will keep you from sin. Teach me Thy word.
Amen.
Teach me Thy word. Oh God, Thy spirit is good. Teach me Thy word.
Amen.
What a great God. Amen. Teaching us that word, I'll tell you, it'll keep us from sin, keep us from evil.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, it'll keep us walking in a straight path. I'm going to tell you what else it'll do. It'll reveal to us Jesus. It'll stir our heart and bless our soul. When's the last time you got there? I got up. I couldn't sleep at all last night. I knew something was wrong when I got up. Couldn't sleep at all. I woke up, and you'd think I slept well. I slept with Kaylin in the bed with me the night before that. And I'm going to tell you, you're talking about a rambunctious little girl. That kid's something else. Woo! Hot dog. Man, allow me and Miss Hall. She just flipped, flopped, swung, kicked them arms around. I'm going to tell you what. And if you just reach over and move her arm off of it, she'd just sling and fling it that much more. But I thought last night I'll sleep well. Nope. Up and down all night long. Finally got up at 5:45 this morning, went out there, put on that weak pot of coffee, grabbed that Bible and went to reading, and I know God had something in store for me. When I read that again, I said, Lord, I don't know how many times I've read that lately. Because I'm Thy servant. I've read it over and over again. For I am Thy servant. David says, for I am Thy servant. For I am Thy servant. I'll probably preach on it again sometime. I'm telling you, and there's blessings in being a servant of God, folks. When was the last time God revealed something to you? I'm talking about really give you a nugget. I'm talking about opened up your eyes to the truth. The psalmist said, teach me great things out of Thy law. When was the last time He taught you something good out of that book? I mean, something you could get a hold of for your life. Something that would strengthen you. Something that would give you an anchor. Something that would really stir your heart and bless your soul. Something that would give you courage to face another day and courage to face the trials and the battles that you got in life. I'm telling you, we got a God, folks, that if we'll serve Him, I'm going to tell you, sit out on your hind end and see how many blessings you get. You ain't getting none. He said, for I am Thy servant. He didn't say, for I'm Thy tail end setter. That's what's going on, the whole lot of you.
Yeah.
You're sitting on the backside and ain't doing a stinking thing for God. You want the blessings without the blesser, and you don't want to do nothing for the blessings.
Yeah.
I learned a long time ago, we're saved by grace, but everything else we get, we're going to have to put just a little bit of work and effort into it.
Amen.
God, I've heard Harold Sattler say time and time again, a lazy man will die and go to hell. He was talking about lazy men in the Word of God. I've heard him say it over and over again.
Amen.
Anybody listening? Now listen to him. He declares unto us His Word because of His goodness. Now get this. His purpose. Why do you think He declares us His Word? It's right there in the text. it to lead us into the land of uprightness.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad that He's teaching me His Word. And He's leading us by teaching us into the land of uprightness. Praise God, we're headed for a city that's fairer than day, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, we're going to that celestial city on the other side of the Jordan. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm telling you, God's teaching us and leading us in the way of uprightness, or to the place of uprightness is what it says. I believe that's what it says. The land of uprightness. Don't say, lead me and make me upright. It says, lead us to the land of uprightness. In other words, there ain't going to be nobody there that's not right.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, that Bible will get you there.
Amen.
Amen. It's been a lamp under my feet and a light under my path.
Amen.
All of these years. Notice carefully. His purpose in this, to lead us unto the land of uprightness. I believe that's what it says about Abraham. When Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going, but he went out looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He went out being taught of the Lord. God was leading him to a land of uprightness. In other words, if I can just break it down vernacular, God said, I'm going to teach you my word, and I'm going to lead you all the way to heaven.
Yeah.
Everybody here want to go to heaven? Praise God, you'd be a fool to say no. You'd be an absolute fool to say you don't want to go to heaven. Ain't but one alternative. I heard Shepherd Smith on there said, oh, it was such a beautiful sight. Said, oh, how it gripped my heart. Said, all the Muslims were there, and all the Buddhists were there, and the Hindus were there, and all the Christians were there. Said, it was such a lovely sight, all of them coming together for one purpose and one cause. And he said, and they were all lighting candles. And he said, I thought it was so marvelous. And I said, yeah, and them at lighting candles and you both going to hell.
Amen.
Somebody said, you sure are cruel. No, just the truth.
Amen.
That crowd's not going to that land.
Amen.
They don't know that Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not looking for a big load when the trumpet sounds.
Yeah.
Except those that are already dead in Christ. I'm telling you, better get on board.
Amen.
Let me ask you, has that word been a lamp under your feet and a light under your path?
Amen.
Amen. God's purpose. Then notice His power in this. His power. For Thou art God. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God.
Amen.
There's the power that's going to get us there. We're not going to get there under our own strength. And I'm glad I've got a power that can get me there.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. He's not just powerful, He's all powerful.
Amen.
And that all powerful one has got a book that He's teaching us out of.
Yeah.
The holy way, the whole path of righteousness.
Yeah.
Amen, amen, hallelujah.
Yeah.
What power God's got. But you think that God, somebody said, well, I mean this, God, I passed a car going up there after them old range today. Why did God make me go up there at that time? Ed should have got him when he'd go up there after that bent pipe in the morning. Why'd God make me go up there? It must have been to tick me off. I come up behind the car, and it had on the back of it, Acts 2:38. I went around and it had a big sign on and said, Jesus saves sinners. I said, well, he's got one part of it right. What he's saying is that you got to be baptized in Jesus' name in order to be saved. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There ain't but one thing wrong with that. That ain't right.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Jesus gave the mode of baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not what they say. They say, well, what is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Well, it might be wonderful. It might be mighty God. It might be the everlasting Father. It might be the Prince of Peace. It may be the door. It may be the way, the truth, the life, and the resurrection. I don't know. It may be Jehovah Jireh. I mean, if you started counting all the... How many of y'all in here at night when Herbert Williamson stood up there and counted the names of God in the Bible?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, they have to be baptized in Jesus' name. Authority. He's the head of the church.
Amen.
The authority of Jesus. You killed him, now bow to his authority. When they heard that, they were pricked in the heart.
Amen.
It's still an authority problem today. People do not want to bow to his authority. That's a problem. That's why folks are going to go to hell today. They're stiff-necked and stiff-backed, and they will not bow to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, think he ain't got the power to get us there? Praise God, I'm not going to heaven because I was baptized.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven by the power. Hey, and by the way, I'm kept by the power of God.
Amen.
Well, if that baptism saved a man, when they drained it, he just lost his hope. You might say his hope went down the drain. But I'm here to tell you, friend, my hope didn't go down the drain.
Yes.
He's got a mighty arm of power.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, he's strong enough to carry us through.
Amen.
He got Rebecca from the early Chaldees back to Isaac, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Praise God, he's going to get us to heaven, too.
Amen.
Well, I say us, I can speak for myself. Honestly, I can't speak for you.
That's right.
I love you. And I think the majority of you in here are saved. But I can't testify for you.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Now, listen carefully. Not only his purpose and his power, but look at his plan in this. The Spirit. The Spirit is good. You know what I wrote down there? I'm a bad handwriter. The Bible said there that I'm reading from, the Spirit is good, and I put the Spirit is God.
Amen.
I'd have to say that. I didn't mean to now. Honestly, before the Lord, I didn't mean to, but that's what I put. I put the Spirit is God, but the Spirit is good.
Yeah.
Hey, Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead them the way. What way? The way to the land of uprightness.
Yeah.
To give them light to go by day and night. Now get this. Get what I'm getting ready to tell you. He took not the pillar of cloud away by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. This tells me that he never fails to give leadership toward the land of uprightness.
Yeah.
You hear what I said? He never took the light away from them in the nighttime. He never took the light away from them in the daytime. And if he didn't take the light away from them, he's not going to take the light away from you and I. You got a light tonight? You still walking in the light?
Praise.
Or are you stumbling in darkness?
Praise.
Praise God, I'm telling you, I'm glad we can walk in that light.
Yeah.
And he said he never took it away from them the whole journey. I'm talking about 40 years until they crossed over. They had a pillar of fire and a pillar of a cloud day and night, buddy.
Amen.
Amen. I'm like Brother Rolo. If you don't believe in miracles, you lost. I believe that rock that followed them was Christ, and I believe it had legs and walked and went everywhere they went. Whenever they needed water, it just gave it.
Amen.
He told them every now and then, said, go up there and you can suck a little honey out of it.
Yeah.
Tells me Jesus is sweet. Can I tell you this? I told this to Brother Steve the other day, and he went home and looked up, and he told me today, he said, preacher, I looked this up in the, and said, ever, commentary I looked it up in said there's only one of them had the same idea you did about it. There's four things it talks about in the book of Proverbs, and I can't remember all of them. One of them is a man with a maiden and a ship in the sea, and one of them is a serpent upon a rock. Brother Steve asked me today, he said, what do you think that means? I said, I'm going to tell you what I think it means. I think it means that Satan is that serpent and that rock is Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's a marvelous thing when you think about it. You ever see a serpent bite a rock? He might break a tooth. One writer, Brother Steve, said he believed it was talking about the temptation of the serpent in the wilderness. I believe it's more than that. I believe it is his attack upon Christ all of the days of this world. But I'm here to tell you that serpent cannot harm a rock. Praise God, our God is a rock ages. And the devil let Satan beat against him. Thank God I found the place in the cleft of the rock and a hiding place. And praise God by his power through through His plan, by His purpose, I'm going to a land of uprightness. Somebody say amen. Say amen, money bag. You tight-lipped little.
Amen.
Some of these girls in here say amen. Now, He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And He is leading them to the land of uprightness. Notice, thirdly, and I'm trying to hurry. Quicken me, said in verse 11, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, for Thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Now, I said, He declares unto us His word because of His goodness. I said, secondly, firstly, He delivers us by providing a refuge. Secondly, He declares unto us His word because of His goodness. And thirdly, His dignity I find here in quickening us.
Yeah,
His dignity. God's got a little dignity about Him.
Amen.
He said, for Thy name's sake. In other words, do this because of Your testimony.
Yeah,
hey, can I say this to you? If God doesn't deliver His people, and they're earnestly in prayer desiring to be delivered, I'm telling you, it damages God's testimony, not the saints.
Yeah.
He said, hey, quicken me. Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake. And maintain Your dignity. Maintain Your testimony.
Yeah.
And now get a hold of this now. Don't nobody leave me. No, it's not time to look at watches and get ready for Thy name's sake. That word quicken means to make alive or to revive.
Amen.
Either one. One and the same. It means to give life to.
Yeah.
It means either one. And so, hey, I put it this way. Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, for Thy righteousness' sake. Bring me out of trouble. In other words, Lord, revive us.
Amen.
Revive us again that Thy people may rejoice in Thee. Why is God going to revive us here in this verse? To bring us out of trouble. Anybody in here in any trouble tonight? I don't know about you, but I am. I've got $15,000 worth of bills hanging over my head up yonder. I've got a tray full in there that I don't know how to pay. Half the church ain't here tonight. How do you think that made me feel to come in here tonight and half the church not even be here? And we're facing that up on the hill. How do you think that makes a preacher feel? Now, I got a tray of bills in there that would choke most of you to death, and that don't count my own.
Amen.
And I'm trying to take care of the bills and figure out how we're going to get the job done.
Amen.
And I've got the care of the church upon me. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like right now I'm fighting for my spiritual life in the church. My spiritual life. Because I'm getting the feeling that some members of the church don't really care. One way or the other. They don't care whether it goes or whether it dies or whatever happens to it. I didn't say everybody.
Amen.
I said some people. I've seen some of you sit in here and your face is stone, just like a piece of stone, just like a flint. Now I'm telling you, when you're sitting there like a flint, buddy, you're ready to go. Oh, yes. Been there too long. You think it ain't a load? Try her sometime, buddy. See if it don't get to you a little bit and get you goat. See if it don't irritate you just a tad bit. Come on in the house. But God will quicken us for, number one, to bring us, revive us, to bring us out of trouble.
Yeah.
I've been preaching too long to believe God can't do it now. Amen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I wrote down here, Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, that will revive me. Listen to what he says. Boy, I'm telling you this, I like this. You won't even smile, but I like it.
Amen.
He said, stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies.
Amen.
Stretch forth your hand against the wrath. That's how you're going to deliver me out of trouble, stretching forth your hand and putting to rest my wrath. But now listen to what he says. And thy right hand shall save me. That's why I held out my left hand. If the right hand is going to save David, The left hand is what's going to go against his enemies. Now, if he's saving David with his right hand, that tells me God's whipping our enemies with one hand tied behind his back. Woo! You'll catch up and after a while with slow Frank, friend. Praise God. If he can deliver us with one hand and fight the enemy off with the other hand, he's whipping the devil, the world, the flesh, sin, and a whole crowd with one hand tied behind his back. Amen. That's right. Now, then bring us out of trouble because of thy righteousness. And I'm closing right here. He said, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. And my last point is, he destroys them that afflict our soul. Why?
Amen.
Why? Here's the blessing. For I am thy servant.
Amen.
I know y'all been listening to them stupid fans. You ought to turn on the air because them stupid things that drive a man nuts. They about to run me. Popping, 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 popping. Sound like you got a rod knocking in them to me. Destroy all mine enemies, Lord. Why? Those that afflict me. Anybody in here feel afflicted tonight? Anybody afflicted in your heart? Anybody afflicted in your soul? Anybody afflicted in your body? If Brother Robert was here tonight, he could say, I'm afflicted in my body. Brother Gossett can say, I'm afflicted in my body. I can say, I'm afflicted in my body, I guess. Anybody feel afflicted? That Bible said that God will deliver you from them that afflict your soul because you are His servant.
Amen.
That's one of the blessings of serving God. I wouldn't trade what I'm doing. I wouldn't trade my position in life with what George Bush is doing, especially what. Oh, George, I tell you, I wish he'd quit beating around the bush, really. I'm telling you, he's took a licking, but he keeps on ticking, buddy. Them Democrats, y'all think they're going to do better, but they ain't. I know Kentucky's Democrat, and y'all Democrats, but I'm telling you, they ain't going to do a bit better. Harry Reid and Levin, Nancy Pelosi, Kennedy, Kerry, and all Edwards and all that bunch. You think they're going to do any better? They'll kill every baby in the country and take every gun you own if you've got anybody. Yes, sir. I'd just soon vote for a braying mule as vote for one of them. I got a thing, I don't know where I started getting it on email, called Newsmax.com. I never heard of it before, not once. It just appeared on my computer. I read on there last night, or not four last. Get this. Here, it really thrilled me. It's going to cut some of you to the core, but it thrilled me. That Fred Thompson ain't even declared he's running yet. And they took a survey about all the people that's running and everything, and I couldn't remember all of them. But they put on there, if Fred Thompson was running on a Republican ticket against Hillary Clinton right now, how would it turn out? And the number said Fred Thompson, 98.3%, Hillary Clinton, 1.7%. She didn't do too well, Brother Jerome.
Praise the Lord, but he ain't gonna vote again.
No, we ain't voted yet. And if the wrong ones run, I won't vote. Somebody said, aren't you God, give them right, you got to go vote. I'm not going to go vote for one or two people, both I know both of them are wrong.
Amen.
And Giuliani, I'm telling you what, supposed to be a Republican. And I seen his stupid picture in the newspaper last night with a blonde wig on and a dress and lipstick standing there. Looked like, honestly, portraying Marilyn Monroe. And they said that's the second time he's done that. Had one of these done it in 1997. And I thought, buddy, if he's up there portraying a woman, it might be because that dude's a little limp wrist. That may be why he's had three wives. They found him out and booted him. Would you want a man? Folks, I'm not partial. He's a Republican. Would you want a man in the office that was on national newspapers wearing a dress and a blonde hair and lipstick on and tried to look like Marilyn Monroe? High heel shoes? I wouldn't vote for him. I wouldn't care if he had Republican under his name. I wouldn't vote for him. Now, there's some Democrats. I heard one that born in Arkansas or Missouri. I heard him talking one night on Fox News. I wouldn't mind to vote for him. He said, I go to church, and he said, I put Christ first in my life. And he said, I don't vote Republican or Democrat. I vote for Christ. My wife heard him say it. He's a Democrat. I can't remember his name. But if he had run on the Democrat ticket, Giuliani, I know who I'd vote for. I'm Republican, but I'd vote for a Democrat.
Amen.
Now I'm going to try to vote for right.
Amen.
Well, the Bible says, I just told you, God's leading us to a land of uprightness.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, only the upright are going there. And it does make a difference how you vote and who you vote for.
Amen.
Somebody said, you oughtn't to be up politicking. Why? Hillary and Obama and all of them got down there and done it in a black church. I'm so glad to be here. God, make a dog vomit. Trying to talk like a southern black person. God help her. I'm telling you, I know. I'm going to tell you what, politicians, I won't say that. They'd do anything to get elected.
Amen.
Most of them do anything to get elected. They kiss babies on the head, on the hands, and in other places if they had to get elected. That's right. Don't matter to them. They're in it for one thing. They've already raised on the Democrat side over $100 million, and the election is a year off. They've already raised over $100 million amongst them. Don't you think that that's an awful lot of money to raise for a job that pays $200,000 a year? I do. It's power and it's authority, and who rules the roost. That's right. Let's stand together. I had to politic a little to you.